Daily panics. Oh my god. Where am I going to get £30,000 from? That's just for one leaflet that goes into everybody's home. Where are we going to get the posters for them? Where are we getting the money for leaflets? Where are we going to get the money to put leaflet on picket lines or whatever it is over the next few months? And every day I have these panics. But then actually, I sit for a couple of minutes and I think about it and I think, if we don't do this, despite what the money is, if we don't do this, then in the 10th of June, when people go to the polls in the local elections or in the European elections, what's the choice that faces them? Well, they can vote for the party of big business and war, that's the Tories, or they can vote for the party of big business and war, that's New Labour, or they can vote for the party of big business and war once it's started, that's the Lib Dems, or in this part of the world, they could vote for the fourth alternative, which is the party that wants to feed in the despair and the anguish which has developed over the last 2 years, and they might vote BNP. And given those horror options, it seems to me that no matter what it costs, there's a responsibility in us to make sure that there is at least one alternative. I think that alternative is respect, which offers some kind of hope for those on the 10th of June. A hope for a better world. A hope for a world with the end of war. A world where we don't privatise our public services, but we bring them back under democratic control and renationalise them. That better option is what respect is all about. And on the 10th of June, I want to make sure that at the ballot boxes, people have the option of voting that way. So despite what the cost may be, and that's just in the North West, nationally, across the whole of England, you know, we're talking to close to £1 million. But no matter what, we must raise the money, because we must stand, because it's important that we offer an alternative at the ballot on the 10th of June. So that's the first thing that I really wanted to start off by saying. And then the second thing is, well, what's the reason for standing for respect? And it seems to me that when we think about that, we must think about what's happened for the last 18 months and what have been the main developments of the last 18 months in British politics. And without a shadow of a doubt, it has been the war and opposition to the war. And sometimes we forget about it. Sometimes we become a bit blasé about it. But think about what has happened over the last 18 months. It really started a year past September, when there was the biggest demonstration in British history. Unfortunately, that was the Countryside Alliance, but the following Saturday we went to London and we get more in the streets than they did. And that put us on a roll that took us to February. February the 15th, the biggest demonstration in British history again, 2 million people on the streets. And then in March, the biggest demonstration in this country against the war while the war was being conducted. And we finished the year with 350,000 people in the streets of London in the biggest demonstration in a midweek when Blair invited Bush to Britain. So we can't forget that. This has been an absolutely wonderful and very dramatic social movement. The biggest social movement outside the trade union movement. The biggest social movement that we have ever seen in this country. And yet, despite the fact that we have come onto the streets in our hundreds and our thousands, the government has completely ignored us. They've completely ignored us and they've lied to us. And it's worth just thinking for a minute or two, what were their main claims? Who told the lies and who told the truth? Because they told us we were going to a war that was going to be fought over weapons of mass destruction. And we in the anti-war movement and our side, we said there was no weapons of mass destruction. Now Blair, it seems, is the only man in the world who still thinks that they're going to find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Even the CIA say those weapons of mass destruction were not in Iraq at any point in the run-up to war. Now, of course, and now I think we said that we knew historically there had been those weapons there. We knew that because the Tory government had in part funded and paid for them to go to Iraq. But after the First Gulf War, those weapons were destroyed. And this was their main argument for taking us into a war. They took us to war on a lie, and all the evidence of the last year has backed up our case and reinforced the fact that this government lied to take us to this war. The second argument that they came up with in the run-up to Iraq was that this was a war for democracy. And we said we had no truck with Saddam Hussein. Many of us had protested for years and years about Saddam Hussein, but this was not a war about democracy. Look at who they fund around the world. Look at Burma. In Burma, the elected government is under house arrest. Burma is run by a military junta. The Labour government continues to supply arms to the military junta in Burma. Or look at Uzbekistan. For the last 2 years, the Uzbekistani government has been found guilty of crimes, of the most horrendous crimes against their own population by Amnesty International. One of the recorded atrocities is that they take oppositionists, people who are involved in political parties against their government, and they burn them in oil. Not the whole body, they're not completely cruel, they just burn them from their feet up to their waist in oil. This is not, you know, the Morning Star or Socialist Worker saying this, this is what Amnesty International says. And yet, the American government continues to fully back that government because in that region, the Uzbeki government is their key player in the Caucasus region and the control of Caucasus oil. So we said it was nothing to do with democracy because they continue to support horrible governments around the world. And I think again over the last year, there's been no change in direction there. We were right, they were wrong about that issue. And then we said two other things. We said that this was a war primarily about American interests in the Middle East and about oil. And if you look over the last year, every week in Iraq, the oil pipelines are bombed. And then they're repaired. And then they're bombed. And then they're repaired again. So the oil can be pumped out of that country. It can go to the oil majors. So that money can then be used to reprivatise the whole of Iraq. Because now in Iraq, everything's up for sale. You can buy anything in Iraq. It can be privatised. There is only one condition. The company that buys into that privatised Iraq cannot be Iraqi. It's overwhelmingly going to be an American multinational which will carve up Iraq. We said it was always about oil and the privatisation interests. And it was also about the strategic interests. And if you don't, you know, the other thing to say about that, of course, is that think about the oil pipelines that are constantly being repaired, but yet the water pipes, the sewage pipes, the things that ordinary people in Iraq need, those continue to lie wasted, endangering the health of ordinary Iraqis itself. But we also said that the cover of war will create chaos. Two areas. One, because the Israeli government will use the cover of war to launch even more ferocious attacks on the Palestinians, and that's exactly what's happened over the last year. But secondly, the chaos will be in Iraq itself, because the resistance will rise up and will not accept an American occupation. And if you look at what's happened in Iraq over the last 2 weeks, I think, again, you can see that we have been absolutely correct in our analysis and with that. Perhaps rather too quickly, but over the last year, people have said Iraq is America's new Vietnam. And it's an easy thing to say. But if that is the case, then the last 2 weeks have probably been equivalent of Iraq's most recent Tet Offensive. If you think back to Vietnam, the Tet Offensive in 1968 was when it became clear to the world that the Americans could not control Vietnam and could not win the war in Vietnam. Militarily, they won the Battle of Tet, but politically and ideologically, they lost the war in Vietnam from that point. And the last 2 weeks in Fallujah, there is a great analogy there. Militarily, they can crush the revolt this time, but what it has revealed is that right across Iraq, there is a vibrant resistance to American imperialism in Iraq itself. Now, we have said that. I think if you look at each of these things, our case has been proven absolutely correct, and the government in this country has lied and lied and lied again to us. And as people have become more clear about this, it seems to me that the dam has burst in a whole series of social questions. You know, now people are angry, not just about the war, but the war has led them to huge anger about top-up fees. You know, when Labour came to power in 97, the slogan was education, education, education. And now they've brought in variable top-up fees, something that the Tories wouldn't even dream of doing, which will mean that for our kids, for working-class kids, it is much harder to go to higher education. We look at our pensions. They're still amongst the worst in Europe, and we still have the fat cats dipping their fingers into our pension funds. Why is this allowed to happen under a Labour government? You look at child poverty. In the European Union, the child poverty rates in this country are amongst the worst in the European Union. We're the fourth richest country in the world, and yet we have child poverty of close to 2 million children living in desperate circumstances in this country. Why is this allowed to happen? And the worst thing about this is that this is happening not under a Tory government, because we might expect it from them, but this is happening under a new Labour government. Because I remember 1997, as I'm sure most of you do. My youngest child was born on the 1st of April, 1997, and I pushed her up to the polling booths, and I, rather naively, thought, thank God she's going to be brought up in a Tory-free world. And I went to the polling booth, and for the first time in my life, you had to queue to vote. And people were smiling, and people were laughing. And perhaps we should have listened to Brown and Blair more, because they said they were going to stick to Tory spending limits. But we all expected something better from Labour. We knew that they had money in the pot. We wanted it spent. We heard them promising they were going to renationalise railways, perhaps naively, but we thought that they would deliver on this issue. And now, after 7 years, now after 7 years of Labour letting us down, of cutting our welfare services, of refusing to renationalise the railways, of bringing in top-up fees, of continuing with the atrocity of our kids at schools, having to go through tests at the age of 7, 11, 14, 16, 17, 18. By the age of 18, our children are the most tested children anywhere in the advanced world. Why is this happening? And why is this happening under Labour? And it seems to me that these are the questions that we've got to think about in the run-up to June. Why is it that this government has continued the privatisation agenda? Why is it that this government has continued the racist agenda of attacking asylum seekers? Why is it that this government has taken us into war after war after war? And the solution, it seems to me, is that we then start to look at the elections this June. Because we all marched together against war and they ignored us. And now out of that movement, we have got a new organisation, Respect the Unity Coalition, which is bringing together the anti-war movement, the trade unionists, people from the Muslim community, all of us who marched against war in a wonderful celebration of multicultural Britain. We marched against war, we marched against the government. And now what we are arguing is that we should take the energy, we should take the vibrancy, and we should come together as Respect the Unity Coalition. And on the 10th of June, in the European elections, which are a PR election, we have a great chance to slap Labour in the face. We're not saying that we'll definitely be a new political party around forever. We will wait and see what happens on the 10th of June. I'm incredibly hopeful that we can do fantastically well and people will want to go on with the project. But the 10th of June gives us the best opportunity. Because up and down the country, if we can get just half the people who marched on 15th of February into the polls, then what it'll mean is across the country, we will select UMPs who will come from Respect, who will be committed to renationalising the railways, who will be committed to ending the war and occupation of Iraq, who will be committed to giving rights to the Palestinians, who will be committed to fighting racism and all forms of privatisation. And if you ask me, that's something that we should drive for. Why should we have another series of new Labourites in the European Parliament not representing us, when we could have Respect candidates who stand shoulder to shoulder with ordinary people elected on the 10th of June but standing and staying with us in the communities after the 10th of June? Because I'll give you this guarantee, if we get MEPs elected by Respect, we will not bugger off to Brussels and you won't return 5 years from now. Of course we will go for the important votes, but I tell you, we will be in every picket line with you. We will be in every march with you. If you've got a tenants group, we will come to speak to them if we're invited. If you invite us to your trade union branch, we will be honoured to come along and speak to you and listen to you and raise your problems. We do not see ourselves moving to Brussels. We see ourselves as representatives of ordinary working people right across the country and your trade unions and your tenants groups. And I hope that you can join with us to join Respect as individuals, to take it into your union branches and raise the banner for a left alternative to Labour this June.